Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Hey Watchers, it's Jason, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. This is episode 65, a number that is substantially larger than zero. I would like to thank our loyal fans who have made that possible. This week, I pitched the 2022 series Severance, available on Apple TV+. During the pitch, we discuss Ben Stiller's experience as a director, a brief overview of the theater of the absurd, and Nyan's disappointment at the lack of Joan Severance in the show Severance. If you're digging this podcast, please subscribe and rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or just give us a shout-out on our social media pages. Finally, if you have a show or movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, Watchers, it's time to turn off Parks and Rec and get the Adam Scott Love Fest going while I pitch the show Severance. Hey Watchers, this is Jason, and I am here today to pitch the TV show Severance, available on Apple TV+. Now, I've chosen to pitch this show right now because Dan and Nyan have a free subscription trial to Apple TV+, so we're trying to get in all of our Apple TV+ shows in right now so we don't have to pay for it.
Woohoo!
But it's also very convenient because the TV show Severance is excellent. The first time I heard about it, I was at a friend's house, and my friend's there saying, "Have you seen Severance?" I'm like, "Never heard of it. No clue." And I feel like it's a show that kind of crept up out of nowhere, at least to me. I had heard nothing about it, and then I feel like through word of mouth, it really caught on and took off. Now, I don't know if either of you know anything about this TV show. Dan,
tangentially, I was served short trailer ads, 30-second clips off Hulu and stuff like that. So I have seen like a trailer or two, basically, but I just know what they showed me in the trailer pretty much.
Nyan, have you seen anything?
I've seen clips and I've actually kind of avoided it because I did look interesting. The people involved were interesting. I was disappointed to learn that it has nothing to do with actress Joan Severance. I'm almost as upset as I was when I found out The Mandalorian had nothing to do with 90s heartthrob Costas Mandalore. But that's aside, I purposely have avoided learning anything about it because it did look kind of interesting.
Nor did Black Lagoon feature a creature of any sort.
True.
Very true. Yeah, so I think that's a good call. I filed this under the category of the less you know, the better. But I think it doesn't hurt to sort of know the general premise. So when me and my wife started watching this, we thought this was some sort of like corporate drama or something like that. We thought this was like We Crashed or The Dropout or something like that.
Okay.
And then pretty quickly we realized this is somewhere in the category of, you know, sci-fi, something like that. Hmm. The way I think of this show, having seen it, it reminds me of a style of theater called Theater of the Absurd.
Oh.
Are either of you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to give a shout out to JBJ here, I think.
Yes. John Bush Jones.
There you go. Yeah. That was our theater professor when we went to college together.
That's a throwback right there.
And Dan and I both worked on a production as run crew at the New Jersey Shakespeare Festival of Eugene Ionesco's Rhinoceros.
Yes.
That's the play I was about to go use as an example of what Theater of the Absurd is.
Perfect.
It's amazing. Like literally the most perfect example of Theater of the Absurd. So those who don't know at home, the play The Rhinoceros is about a dinner party where everyone starts turning into rhinoceroses. It's this totally absurd premise, but there's actually a point behind it because the idea is turning into a rhinoceros is a metaphor for Nazism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this whole movement back in the 30s where just things would seemingly be crazy. Plays like Waiting for Godot, about two characters just waiting and waiting and waiting for Godot to show up. And they're still waiting at the end of the play for Godot.
I hope I have not spoiled that play for anyone out there.
Yeah, I think the spoiler. I think that that's a yeah. It's done already. If you didn't know it by now, I'd be surprised. So
I don't know why, but like when I saw this show, this is what it made me think of. And you know, and a big theme in a lot of theater of the absurd is this idea that there's sort of like an undercurrent of meaninglessness to everything, and absurdism to everyday life. And this show definitely leans into that. So the premise of the show is that you are able to separate your work life from your personal life, like 100%. So
work-life balance at an extreme.
Well, the zero work-life balance, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
You have a work life and you have a personal life,
right.
And the two halves of you essentially have no like awareness of the other one. When you're at work, you remember work. When you're home, you remember home. And that's it. Like, you don't know what you're doing at work. You don't know what happens. You just know you show up to the office and then you go home and you don't have any recollection of what you just did for the last 8 hours.
You presumably get a paycheck and possibly benefits, but that's about as far as it goes.
So it's an interesting concept. Yeah, it sort of leads into all sorts of crazy things that you wouldn't have necessarily expected from it. So I don't want to say too much about it because I want you to sort of have the opportunity to discover it. But, you know, when I first heard this concept, I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool idea, right? You know, that sounds great. But you're looking at it from the perspective of somebody who's not going to remember their work all day, right? You know, think of all the phone calls with salespeople you might be having to make.
So amazing if I could just not have that wake me up in the middle of the night. But yeah.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, I agreed. Ultimate compartmentalization. I would love that. Yeah.
The hours of paperwork, you know, think about that. All gone. You don't remember any of it. But on the flip side, there's somebody who that's their whole life. That's all you remember, right? Like all you remember is the work you do every day. And then you're like, oh, when it's time to go home, I don't remember anything. All I remember is being in this office all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yes. So this show sort of explores these ideas and what that would mean and what it would feel like to be in that world.
Interesting. Yeah, it definitely piqued my interest. Like it does. I'm curious to see where that goes, because that definitely, it feels more original than a lot of the stuff that I've, you know, been checking out lately. So
agreed.
Definitely piqued my interest. It kind of makes sense that's the concept, just from what I've seen in the random clips, because of the lighting, it all seems very fluorescent. And so that seems to match with exactly what you're describing, just being constantly bombarded with fluorescent light all day and just being surrounded by nothing but that. Yeah, that all tracks.
And it's funny because it's like what you bring to the office, you know, you bring your personality and everything that you've done in your life, your education. And if you are coming to the office and you're doing work and you don't have any of that going into your work, I mean, on one hand, you're so focused on work, so you would think the potential efficiency might go up from the employment perspective. But at the same time, you might lose a certain je ne sais quoi from the other parts of your work, the creative thinking, et cetera, like that possibly. I don't know.
I mean, it could border on traumatic as well, because I can think of one coworker I dealt with at one specific job who I just had to sit next to him. He worked in a completely different department, but we just happened to share a space. And I'm incredibly quiet at work. People usually don't know I'm there. But he would get very upset on calls randomly and just start slamming his keyboard over and over again and freaking out and cursing like crazy. And to the point, he'd done that in front of the CEO. On like a demonstration, I'm like, how do you have a job? All I'm doing every day is wondering where the exit is in case you pull out a gun. So if that was all I remembered for my entire day, I don't know how long I'd survive. So now I'm just kind of curious to see how this plays out in this particular show.
Yeah, I definitely would not have wanted to be an extra as part of Falling Down, for sure.
Yeah.
Cast, I'm trying to remember from the commercial. I remember seeing Adam Scott.
Yep. He plays the star, he's the sort of the main character of the show, and he's the person who we get the most like perspective of. And for most of the show, he's really the only one we see any of their life outside of the office. The majority of the show takes place in the office, and the scenes that take place out of the office are pretty much exclusively through Adam Scott.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, but there's a multitude of other people in the cast too. I just can't remember half of them off the top of my head that I saw.
A bunch of them. It's actually a pretty interesting cast, partly because there's this strange effect. So if you don't know what's happening outside of your office, what are you talking about, right? Like, you don't know what's going on with everybody. So you've got this interesting cast of sort of some smaller character actors. And I'm thinking of like Zach Cherry.
Love Zach Cherry.
Oh, wow.
He's so good.
He's great. I think this is the first time, like, I totally recognized his face, but I couldn't name anything else I know him from. And he's fantastic in this show. Britt Lauer is in it. I am not familiar with her as an actress.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Exactly. And actually, she has a pretty major part. She's one of the main characters in this season. There's some other faces you probably do know. There's Patricia Arquette.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Christopher Walken. John Turturro.
Wow, yeah.
And then you've also got actors like Jen Tulloch and Trammell Tillman, who, again, not familiar with, who also have these very significant characters. And it sort of makes a neat effect to have this altering between, you know, really well-known actors and then less well-known, like, not even like less well-known, just like actors who I've never seen before. Like, I'm Googling, like, who is this? And I'm like, I've never heard of any of them. But I kind of liked it. And I thought it really worked having this mix of actors. Something about having this variety of famousness with the cast, I think really just added a certain something to like what's going on. Because you're like, okay, so you've got, you know, you have like these, you know, coworkers working next to each other. Zach Cherry, who I'm not familiar with. Britt Lauer, who I'm not familiar with. And then John Turturro. And you're like, oh, well, he's very famous. What's going on? Like, is he going to be a major character? Is there something more going on with his character relative to the others? And it just leaves this like little bit of mystery out there to the whole thing.
Neat. How many episodes is it?
It's 9. And they're kind of all over the map with length. Some are, I want to say, over an hour. And then other ones are a fair bit shorter.
Okay. So they didn't go full Horace and Pete and make things like anywhere from an hour to like 20 minutes an episode, which have you guys ever seen Horace and Pete?
No.
Oh.
I mean, it depends how you feel about Louis C.K., but it was at least an interesting device in that it's an excellent series. And this was before everything came out about him, but the actors are amazing. And they're just episodes that will be like super long and then ones that'll be like 15 minutes. And I'd never seen that before. So it kind of sounds like maybe not to that extreme here in Severance, but kind of similar at least, and that things really vary. And I think that can be a powerful narrative device in the right hands.
Yeah, no, I mean, the concept in my head, like, my mind's already racing on all the implications on this for sure. And again, the cast, I think to me, it sells it a lot for me as well. I mean, again, I love a lot of the people that were mentioned. So
at this point, I'll watch pretty much anything Adam Scott's in, honestly. Between Party Down, Parks and Rec, like,
yep.
He's got me sold, honestly.
I just discovered Party Down recently.
I was that's
way
right.
Behind the curve on this. Yeah, that show is awesome.
Yeah.
So good. I think you might be in time for the reboot because I think they're supposed to be rebooting it soon. So
really?
Perfect timing.
I'm a little nervous about that. I feel like these reboots can be kind of a mixed bag.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But I like to think, I mean, Party Down was such a good show to begin with. You're going to take the time to reboot something like that. Something that was really pretty niche. Not something
yeah.
A lot of folks just randomly stumbled across, and it has a solid cult following, but it's not as mainstream as it should be, in my opinion. I think if you are going to reboot something like that, you'll probably do a decent job.
Yeah, I only came across it because of Cheryl, so that's you know, that's the only reason why I came across it.
It also seems like a pretty rebootable premise, you know.
It's
you're going to gigs, you know, you can focus everything on whatever the event of the day is that they're catering. Cast members can come and go, unlike some of these other ones where they're like, oh, I can only go for like a little bit and it destroys the whole show. People can come and go and work.
So now I have to ask you a question based upon what Jason was just saying. Is that the reason why you were gravitated to Below Decks?
Oh.
The gig, as far as the different events and gig kind of idea.
That is the appeal of part of the appeal of Below Deck. So, Jason, are you familiar with Below Deck?
The general idea of it, yeah.
So, I mean, they often have theme parties with every charter. So, and they're all, they just, I feel like they might ask the guests to make them more ridiculous because they're always just mildly insane. Like in this current season of Below Deck Med, they're doing BDSM parties. Like it's like on the it's wild.
They got to make good TV. If someone's like, oh, you just want to have, you know, a nice cocktails on the water. They're like, no. Bondism.
Oh, yeah. Bondism.
Yeah, yeah.
There are definitely stories of guests seeing how they're portrayed on the show afterwards and be like, production told us to do that and be a bunch of jerks and come up with something really weird. We don't want to do this at all. But yeah, no, 100%.
The safe word is kielbasa. Man, that's wild. I thought it was kind of interesting how, like, you know, there's certain through lines you kind of say, okay, well, this show has this kind of premise, and can we just how we have a certain the Anglophile bit that we did a couple of episodes ago about how talking about what I'm into and whatnot. It's just there's a lot of throughputs we can kind of gain from what we watch over time. It's kind of funny, as they say, well, of all things.
So one of the other things that I think is going to be great about Severance is it's actually a really funny show,
huh?
It's got like a, yeah, it's like quite funny. It's not like in a joke a minute kind of way.
Okay.
But there's just this like constant just humorousness to the whole everything that's happening, which I think makes sense when you realize who the creator of the show is. It's Ben Stiller.
Boom. Oh. There you go.
Yeah.
Random.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Very random.
Okay.
I actually, the only other thing I'd ever seen of his that he directed, or no, I've seen two things. One is Zoolander.
Right.
Which I'm not the biggest fan. I know people love Zoolander. I always thought it was sort of so-so. And then The Cable Guy.
Oh, yes. Of course.
He directed that.
He directed it. I can't stand that movie. Or at least that's why I saw it 20 years ago and I remember hating it.
Right.
I never actually saw it.
You never saw it? Okay.
Never.
It's like picture Jim Carrey and like the
peak of Jim Carrey
comedy, but the most over the top at the same time.
That's exactly it.
And it's just like, it's exhausting. And I just found it exhausting personally. It was too much.
I feel you, Jason. I mean, there were some scenes in it, which were really neat in a lot of different ways. I appreciated those scenes, but yeah, I feel the same way. It was a crazy, like extreme version of, you know, dark humor Jim Carrey. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this. This seems really interesting, and I think it's a great way to kick off Apple Plus season, where I'm happy to do a run of Apple Plus shows because I've got one I definitely wanted to throw out there. Now this is a good opportunity to follow up with that, so I'll take all the Adam Scott I can get. So I'm looking forward to this.
That works, man.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to hear what you guys think.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.